Congratulations, we got to the last lesson in our Hello Unity Introduction to Creative Coding with Unity. This is lesson 8. We've finished up our scene just the way we want it. We have prefabs working now. We're adding those procedurally. We've used light probes so that the prefabs can pick up the colors in our scene. We've explored materials and emissive. And yet we've done all of this basically with two different materials and only working with one type of 3D object, cube. And yet, we've created this really cool experience. The last thing we're going to do now is add those finishing touches that really puts your scene into that next visual level. So let's think about this for a minute. I wanted to make sure that up until now, we weren't relying on any store assets or that general idea of you build Unity by dragging things from the store or bringing in other assets and then snapping them together. That's usually how I teach game design. I've really focused the past 2 hours to teach you how to be enabled yourself to use the code you want. But now for camera effects, we are going to bring in some additional tools. So that's the first thing we'll look at. If you recall, every scene starts off with this main camera. Now, I could come to Add Component if I wanted to, and I could look for something like Depth of Field, and I won't find it yet. That's because it's not something that you get out of the box, but it does exist inside of Unity. So let's, in this final lesson, see how to bring in some of these additional or external features. What I'm going to do, I'm going to come up here to Edit. Assets. I'm going to go to Import Package, and for this one, I'm going to come to Effects. When I click on this, it brings out some of the pre-existing packages that ship with Unity, but they're not immediately available in the editor. So we have a lot of other things that you can explore, like 2Ds and cameras and characters. A lot of tutorials, this is the first thing you do. Come import a character package, for example, and move around in a scene. We've stayed away from them, but for this last lesson, we are going to look specifically at camera effects. So I'm going to come into effects and click that open. It takes a little while if this is your first time running it. Brings it in, and it shows all the different effects that we can pull in. They have image effects and different standard assets. It gives you a lot of options at first. Normally, if you wanted to be size conscious, you'd go in and you'd only select the ones that you want. We're just going to import all of them for right now. That's okay, because we're going to look at a couple different image effects. So if we scroll down, this is everything we'll be importing. And we're going to see that it starts inflating up all the things in our assets folder, but it does a good job organizing it. So even if you're not specifically checking and unchecking what we are interested in, and we're going to be looking at depth of field and bloom. Those are in here. We see bloom here. We see depth of field. Let's just go ahead and import all of them. It won't hurt. They're all selected. I'm going to press import. And when we selected camera before and we looked for depth of field, it wasn't there. But now that we're importing it as an asset, as this package, it will be there once we try and add it a second time. So once all the effects get brought in from the standard assets, we'll see what happens. Good, so now we'll see how it changed. Nothing's been added to our hierarchy, of course. This is what we define our scene as. But here under favorites, we now have this folder called standard assets. We have our regular things that we've been working with, but they added the standard assets and they've organized them in here. Effects, here are various effects that we can look at. Glass reflections, etc. But instead of using this editor, let me come back to where we are. I'm going to select main camera. And now that I've imported, and again, I went to assets, import package, effects. That's how we got it. We imported everything. I'm selecting main camera. And if I click add component now and I type in depth, I can now see some depth of field options. I'm going to select this depth of field. And just like that, I've added the ability to play with depth of field onto my camera. When I run this, depth of field, the effect has a pretty cool thing. If we look over here where it says visualize, if I click that, it visualizes in black and white a way for me to kind of tweak and get those values that I want. So I want the things, I want a nice contrast between what appears visualized as white versus black, and that'll help me really calibrate how I want the blur to happen. So I think the more white it is, the more blurry it's going to be. So I want kind of the middle one to be blurry and things to really get in nice focus as they're close. So I'm tweaking my focal distance here to do that. And play around, I can increase or decrease my focal size, maybe my aperture, kind of get it to a certain place where you feel there's a nice contrast between elements that are black or get really dark and elements that get really white. So maybe something like this. That looks good on my machine. Play around with yours and then unvisualize it. Wow, that looks fantastic. We see by getting that contrast between the whites and blacks, it gives you a visual way of seeing what would be blurry, which would be white when you're visualizing it, versus what would come in nice and clear. This is what I was looking for. I wanted the cubes as they got close to the camera to be nice and sharp, and yet everything farther away have that kind of shallow depth of field where things farther away really get blurry quickly. So this depth of field is a really nice effect. By just adding this one and playing with it, you can instantly start moving into that cinematic feel for your work. Remember, this is our very first Unity project. This is our Hello Unity project, and we're already doing stuff that looks really, really nice. Our shadows are also blurred out there. Everything's picking up the walls closely. So depth of field, very, very common post-processing effect for your camera. That's how you do it. Now, I'm going to look at these values. The problem is we were tweaking it during play mode, and all of these will go away once we do. So normally I play and I tweak to see which values I want. I'll write them down and then save them. So right now I'll just memorize. I'm around 4.3 for my focal distance and around 0.56 for my aperture. So let me close this, and I'll reset that. My focal distance was around 4.3, my aperture around 5.6. 0.56. Let me run this again to see if that still looks good. Yep, that's what I want. I really like that a lot. So depth of field, one of the effects you get for free in standard assets, add it to your camera. If this is the type of look you're going for, it's that easy. There's another effect though, so let's stop that we can do. I'm going to come in here the exact same way. I make sure that my camera is selected. I'm going to click Add Component, and here I'm going to type in bloom. Now, because I don't want both of these playing off of each other so you can see what's happening, I'm unchecking depth of field so that there's no effect on depth of field when I run it. So it's here, we're not deleting it, but I'm unchecking it so that it doesn't affect. I just want to see bloom by itself and see what happens here. When I run this, let's see what bloom does. We can see that these brighter areas, in fact, let me toggle it off so that you can see the difference. When I turn it off, this is what our room was like before. When I turn it back on, I can see that these light areas have actually gotten more bright. Bloom is that camera effect where at the high range of the lights, the bright colors, once you pass a certain threshold, they really start glowing in that light. You see this a lot in video games. Bloom is also a certain effect that can push your creative code project into that nicer post-production feel. Bloom has certain things like the quality. We'll keep that high for now. Here, this intensity, if I increase the intensity, we can really see what bloom's doing. We're getting that really, really bloomy effect that's super bright, but that way you know what it's doing. It looks like it's blurring, but it's really not. It's adding a blur to the light. It's not adding a blur to the edges. Let's kind of keep this around here. And the threshold basically says, what's the threshold for the things that have to be bright? And if your threshold's really high, you'd have to be getting a lot closer to white for that effect to kick in. In fact, since we don't have a lot of white in our scene, I'm dropping that intensity, the threshold back down, so that the brighter areas, the magenta, and some of the blue starts blooming a little bit. Drop the threshold a little bit more. There we go. So I can pick up some of the blue. Maybe right around here makes the walls really look like they're glowing. Bloom off. Bloom on. Increase the intensity a little bit more. There. Now I would continue to tweak this. For example, this magenta is a bit brighter than this blue. Let me try dropping the red a little bit. Because this the magenta will be brighter than the blue, so let me drop that a little bit to compensate visually. Run. Selecting main camera again if I want to get back to tweak it. Bloom, and let me kind of... There we go. Somewhere around here, based on the look that you want, I'll keep mine right around here. I just want a little bit of that extra pop around the edges and a little bit on the cube. If you want to get total belt and suspenders, then you could run both of them at the same time. I start feeling that's a little too much blue eyeshadow, but here it is with depth turned on and bloom turned on. Now, both of these are processor intensive. If you want to see what your stats are, you can click up here. This button says stats, and it shows us that with us throwing all these things at it, we've already dropped down to around 41, 42 frames per second. Again, this is the stats button when you're in game mode. This will give you, if you're coming from Flash or coming from other areas, normally Unity by itself has pretty fast frames per second. We're throwing a lot of stuff in our creative coding, and yet we're still running above 30 frames a second. So it's kind of how you ease into creative coding yourself. But what we've done today was to get you up and running in 2 hours with Unity. But be conscious of this. Things like light probes have really dropped down this number. The emissive materials with the light probes. Now that we're adding depth of field as a post-processing effect, so it has to render the scene and then add this on top of it. We're adding bloom also on top of it. We've dropped it down to a good 40 frames per second on this particular machine. A couple other notes in this session. On our animation effects, we were just adding steps based on how often the redraw is being called. So as these frames per second drop down, the speed of our cubes are going to drop down as well because we're adding fixed values on every frame. Generally in game design, this isn't a good practice. You don't want things moving faster on fast machines and slower on slow machines. So they usually will offset something like that by multiplying it by what's called time.delta. That'll be another session. But right now, I wanted to make sure these lessons were targeted for you as a creative coder wanting to get into volumetric Unity for the very first time. And I think we did a really nice job. I hope you enjoyed the tutorial. Let me take off the bloom and kind of keep this a little bit cleaner on depth of field. I think I would either go with depth of field on this one and take off the bloom, or I would keep the bloom and maybe magnify it a bit more. You know, something a little bit more like that, and play around there if I wanted. But again, depth of field and bloom together, a little bit too much blue eyeshadow. But those are camera effects. Depth of field and bloom are two of the most popular ones, and that's exactly how you do it. You might want to go ahead and start exploring some of the other camera effects if you want. But at the end of the day, don't let the camera effects do the heavy lifting. It's your code, it's your design as an artist that does it. Bring these in as additional enhancements. Before we wrap up everything, I will be putting these the second part of Hello Unity up on my GitHub repo at github.com/RickBarraza. We will also be having more in-depth tutorials on my personal website, rbarraza.com. But before we finish, there are two links that I want to share with you that really helped me out when I was learning this last year. I do not know these people at all, but they really helped me out as a creative coder wanting to look at Unity. Last year, there was almost nobody talking about this. The first link I want to share with you is called catlikecoding.com. These tutorials were some of the best tutorials I found, and I still go back to them again and again. It's written by this person named Jasper Flick, I believe, on their Twitter. I just started following him today. He has around 1,000 followers. This person should be getting a lot more attention because his tutorials were fantastic. In fact, I'm not going to cover information that he has on his tutorials. Some of these things like procedural grids and rounded cubes, really, really great. A little bit heavy if it's your first time going into Unity, although even his basic clock tutorial is fantastic. I really like Catlike Coding, this website, Jasper Flick. Want to share that link with you because I learned a lot and one of the only people teaching Unity this way. So Jasper Flick was a bit of an inspiration for this series. Please check out his tutorials as well. Also, a book that I found very useful that approached Unity, again, in a very different way because most people approach it just game design, snapping Lego pieces together, was this book by Penny DeBille called Holistic Game Development with Unity. As a designer and developer, I love drawing on the right side of the brain, all of these types of holistic learning conversations. I love that this book approached Unity that same way. So this was one of the first books that really inspired me that Unity can be taught differently. She does focus on game development versus creative coding, whereas Unity C# tutorials are a bit more procedural coding heavy. But again, Holistic Game Development, also a great, great book. So I hope you enjoyed the series. And let's keep the conversations going. I'm thinking of making another series that takes this to the slightly next level once you go through Cat-like coding, but we'll talk a little bit more about dynamic meshes. But after that, we'll be deep diving into much more advanced topics of Unity as it relates to things like Kinect and Windows Store and HoloLens. So please keep tuned. Stay tuned for that. Again, my name is Rick Brazza. Thanks for watching the series, and we'll see you online.